Welcome to Cryptic Soup. Tonight's case is about an alien abduction that happened to a local Japanese man in 1974. He claimed he was taken aboard a ship and given some goodies to bring home, while also earning a title. Was it real or not? Guess you'll have to listen and make your own assumption. I'm Kylie.
And I'm Thina.
And tonight we have an out-of-this-world case to share with you. Welcome back again.
Welcome.
Where the hell did you go again?
I went to North Carolina this time.
Okay.
So I flew out on Friday, came home on a Sunday. It was very, very hectic, in case anyone was ever wondering.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not fun to do that.
It's not. But everything that could have gone wrong did. So it was awesome. We went to the wrong airport because they changed our flight. And then after that, we got there. And at first they thought they might not have our car ready or something. I can't remember what the problem was there. And then our hotel lost our confirmation and just pretty much everything that could have gone wrong did. And then we got sunburnt and then we got barricaded for the show and it was fucking awesome. And everything magically worked out in the end and everything was perfect.
And now you're home.
And now we're home and I hate
safe
it again.
And sound.
Sadly. But yeah. But okay. So like tonight we're going to do an alien because we haven't done an alien in a while. We're actually going to do 2 weeks of back to backing aliens.
Hell yes.
But here's the
here
thing.
For that.
Mm hmm. Are you ready for it? It's a thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready for the thing.
I heard this news story that was horrendous.
OK,
this is one of the grossest news stories I've heard in a while in terms of a brutal case. But it's not like a. It's not like a case. It's just like a all things true crime are a true crime case, but it's not like big enough to be like a big case to talk about yet or anything. But it's on the news and it's you want to talk about it. Do you want to hear it?
I mean, yeah. After you hyped it up like that, I got to know.
OK, this is about child endangerment. Just keep in mind, guys. OK, so here's the news story I want to talk about. It's about this guy who's a police officer named Stephen Cagini, I think is how I pronounce it.
That's a name.
And he was arrested last weekend after having a brutal rape charge. So, like I said, this is really gruesome, but it's so insane. I want to bring it up and talk about it. So what happened was a daycare worker at the YMCA in Halifax called the Pennsylvania State Police Department, which is the PSPD. And this was on the morning of April 15th. She said she noticed that one of the babies there had bruises and injuries on her head, ankle, and across her body. So police get there, they see the same thing, and instantly an investigation was begun. They knew something was very wrong. So this child is 13 months old, and they were taken to the Hershey Medical Center, where the doctors told police that she had a broken leg, and they found evidence of sexual abuse that got put in the court documents. So, like, we know for a fact it happened at this point.
I can't deal with how young she is. This is going to piss me off.
So then the state police affidavit required the mom to talk about what happened. So she says that her and her boyfriend, which is Officer Stephen Cagini, claimed the injuries happened because she was in the bathtub and she fell. And like, that's where a lot of the injuries came from. And they're like, well, that doesn't explain everything. And they're like, well, that wasn't the only thing that happened to her. She also got hurt with the family dog. So the mother said that she fell in the bathtub at one point, and then like a few days later, the dog knocked her down and it injured her further. And that's how the broken leg happened. But they couldn't tell that her leg was broken because, like, I hate saying this, but like babies are jello.
Yeah.
13 months is still kind of jello.
It's like, hard to know when something is seriously wrong or something is just meh.
Yeah. So the authorities then mentioned that she had like a really bad rash, and they were like, oh, no, that's just a diaper rash. Well, the investigators and doctors refuted everything that they were saying. They were like, none of these line up with how these like injuries look. OK,
right.
So they started to deem this as maybe like neglect or something. And within a few hours after this, the mother broke down and she goes to the state police investigators and she said there is something she hadn't told them yet. She left the child alone with her boyfriend, a.k.a. Stephen, for an hour during the weekend. And that's when like
such a long time.
That's like when what? Like these things happened. She further said that while she made dinner, and these all get put in like the court charging documents right now, and that's how people are finding this out. She said that while she made dinner, Stephen locked himself in the bathroom and told the mom that he was going to give the child a bath.
Locked in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The mom said she told the police she heard her daughter crying and along with some like pounding noise coming from the room. So she went to go check on her child and he didn't open the door for over 10 seconds. And when he finally did, his shirt was like sopping wet. And she's like, what? So the investigators said that later they went through some of the text messages and it showed that Stephen kind of took responsibility for this. Now, I don't really know what they say because I couldn't find them yet or find anything that talked about what they were. But he essentially did take responsibility for some of these injuries in some manner. So at that point, Stephen gets charged with something. He's 28 years old. He worked for the York City Police Department in York, Pennsylvania, not New York, York, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen was initially placed on paid suspension, but then the status got changed to unpaid the very next day. And they started already taking steps to dismiss him, the police commissioner, Michael Muldrow, said.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During this time, he was arrested, but he became free on a $200,000 bail.
Lame.
And like instantly when he got out, he resigned from the department, but they were still trying to fire him. So I'm not sure if he in the end is now resigned or fired, but he doesn't work there.
I mean, if he resigned first before the firing, then he technically quit.
Yeah. But they said that the paperwork was already in place. So maybe it's that they genuinely couldn't get it finished before he did that is what I'm thinking.
Maybe.
Because maybe they had to like file stuff or something. I don't know. He is now charged currently in the Dauphin County with felony counts of child rape, aggravated indecent assault of a child, and aggravated assault as of the date of April 16th. So he's not currently charged in the other area, the area where he works, which is, I think, York County itself, because this took place in the Dauphin County. So they're like trying to go for both, but I don't know if they're going to be able to. So that's that. And that's all I
feel
know
like
so
you
far.
Should be able to because he's a police officer in that like, district.
But it's so and it almost sounded like the YMCA where they found the kid was in one district also. And like the home was in another. So I don't know. They're trying to do a lot, though. But that's just horrendous. She literally had broken bones because he raped her so aggressively in the same home as the mother. And he is a police officer. He's 28 years old, and it was a 1-year-old child.
Yeah.
That's horrific.
That's
and the mom
insane.
Went along saying, oh, well, here's how the injuries were.
When she originally, well, she knew
something was off,
but she didn't know. Yeah. But if it was me and I was talking to the doctors, I would be like immediately, like if there was some sort of.
Yeah. Tell.
Yeah, some sort of anything. I'd be like, nope. And also I'm leaving you. And also bye. And also go to fucking hell. And
she heard her child crying and like she thought something was wrong. If you thought that, I don't know. I
follow those motherly instincts for sure in that situation. Like absolutely
that's just
not.
So wrong on so many levels. The moment I saw this one, I was like, I want to talk about it. That's fucked.
It's Saber agrees.
So, yeah, that's the biggest news one. Kylie and I talked about it beforehand. We're not going to get into this one, too. But there was also a bomb threat in Chicago at the airport the day that I was there. Not on my flight. Don't worry. But there was a flight from Chicago to Washington and there was a bomb threat and they had to turn the plane around.
If you look this up, please tell me these situations. OK, first of all, how the hell did this happen? Because the last time I flew, I was with Corey and my friend Eric, who you probably know because he's been on this podcast. He's a pilot. There were literally dogs smelling us. Like, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me. Please riddle
well,
me
did
this.
Did they end up finding a real bomb or was it just the threat? That's another thing. I
That's
can't
also
figure
a thing.
It out. It's very confusing. Everything I found out about this.
Yeah. Maybe they were just trying to. Like,
elicit the scare.
Yeah, like chaos, elicit chaos, but I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe there wasn't actually a bomb.
I feel like there was a third news story that I saw and I was just like, Jesus Christ.
It's terrifying, honestly, especially because we're going to Colorado soon for Corey's birthday, and I fully planned on flying, but it's just like,
yeah, we have unlined you lossidids.
What?
You're gonna hate when I tell you what I was just trying to say. Okay. Unused airline miles. That's okay. What I was trying to say.
So that's not what that was.
Rearrange the letters. We have those we have to use before the end of the year. So we have to take a flight somewhere too.
You're insane.
Thanks.
Do you want to come with the Colorado?
No, we want to go to we still want to go to the beach. Beach, let's go get away.
We can find a beach in Colorado, right?
I was gonna say a concrete beach. I meant like a mountain. Mountains aren't
really big. Really, really big mountains. Yeah. No. Anyway.
But yeah, so there's that. Those are some big things. But I figured, you know, in addition to today's case, it's a shorter case and we haven't talked about aliens in a while. I was like, let's do a little crime with it.
I'm so excited for aliens.
So this one is actually, I'm gonna say something.
Not this, aliens?
This is the most boring alien story ever.
You decided, okay, yeah. Let's break this down. You decided that it was okay to cover a boring story about aliens on Cryptic Soup Podcast.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing.
You give me that excuse.
Yes, I did. I don't have an excuse. I don't know. Like, this is one of those stories where it changed the development of what people thought aliens looked like. So it's important.
It's the history before the mystery of knowing that aliens exist.
But in all honesty, like, this story just, it doesn't seem believable to me. It seems crazy. It's ridiculous. So I guess I'll tell it and you guys can see how you feel.
Oh, we'll so you don't highly believe. So do you think he didn't get abducted? Is that what you mean?
I guess you'll have to listen and find out.
Okay.
So, I mean, we did recently talk about the Flatwoods Monster, which is, I guess, an alien, but like it's like a cryptic alien mixed hybrid thing.
Possibly an alien, maybe not an alien. Who knows?
Yeah. So this week we're going to do the Katami Abductors. And next week, I think we're going to do the story of Stan Romanek. Which is another, is that an alien? Well, we'll call that an alien story.
It's got alien flair. How about that?
it's something. And then I think the week after we're doing, Curtis and Corey Lovelace, I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce that correctly. I've heard it both ways. So
how do I know that?
It happened only a few years ago. It was in 2006 and it's been brought up until like 2018. It's a very common case.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the guys in it is one of the guys that worked the OJ case. So we're not doing OJ. We're still tiptoeing around OJ.
We'll give you bits and pieces. It'll be like that Office episode where Michael gives
the clues to the salesmen.
Yeah, to the no, not clues. The specific pieces every week, Dwight would get a new piece for his nutcracker for Christmas.
Yes.
It'll be like that.
That's not what I thought.
You'll
be like,
you'll have no idea where it's going to happen to be. And then all of a sudden it'll be a full case. You won't even know.
Like, this gun is not made properly. And like Jim's like, how do you know it's a gun? He's like, because
how else? What else is it? And then Jim's like, it's not a gun.
It's not a gun at all.
And then Dwight crosses off the gun. Such a good show.
Yeah. So you ready to learn about the Katami abductors and whether you think it's real or not?
Yeah, I'm ready.
The phrasing Katami abductors, to me, I get what an abduction is. I know I'm privy to the phrase abduction.
It sounds like a Japanese gang.
But the Katami abductors together as like two words, sounds like, what are those big round buildings like Chernobyl? Okay, those buildings that have gases in them and stuff, aren't they sometimes called abductors also?
Conductors?
Oh my god, is that the word?
I don't know.
I think I'm thinking of conductors, but saying Katami abductors reminds me of like a chemical plant. I don't know why.
Oh yeah, no, it makes me think of like an anime real fast.
Yeah, Corey said that too. Like someone kidnapping in like anime.
Like a Japanese gang or something along those lines. So.
It's not. It's, yeah. It's, I guess, aliens.
I mean, it sounds cool.
Doesn't. It's not. Okay. Let's get into it.
It's boring game.
You guys are going to be like, this one was our best one yet. And I'll be like, hating on it the whole episode. So the Katami abductors was a sighting of a UFO that happened back on April 6th, 1974 in Katami, Japan. Katami is in the city of Hokkaido in Japan. It's the most populous city and it's the commercial center that's located near the Katami Mountains, hence how it got its name.
We could be saying all of this wrong, so
more than likely.
So sorry.
Katami faces the Okhotsk.
You're trying to pronounce the H so hard.
Okhotsk.
All right, it's spelled okay, Hotsk. So you pronounce
that you will.
Yeah, you pronounce that however your little heart desires.
Okhotsk. This sea is famous for its ice floes that arrive in February. And for it being the center of the sport of curling.
Oh, curling.
Curling.
Do you like curling?
Bro doesn't do anything for me. You know what's a good ass sport, though?
What?
Luge.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, luge is really cool.
Luge is fucking cool.
I could watch that all day.
That's fucking cool.
Isn't the Olympics coming up? Is it this year or next year?
I could not tell you shit about the Olympics. I don't think I've watched it in like 12 years.
It's every 4 years, right?
Yeah. So I haven't watched like the last three.
I think it's next year, but I think it's all fuckered up because of COVID.
So do they alternate between spring and winter Olympics? Isn't one of them every 4 years and the other every 2 years? Like, isn't spring every 4 years and winter every two? Bro, I have no fucking clue.
Could not tell you.
I feel like I'm just making shit up now. Why don't they just do them together?
I watch like the winter ones more than I watch the summer ones.
So why don't they just make it a year of Olympics?
And that's then, like, what I would
for 4 years
think would
maybe
be.
They do, and I maybe they do. I couldn't even tell you what's in either of them. Like, where does gymnastics fall? Is that spring or winter? Because you're inside. I don't know what the weather's like outside. So are you inside and it's springtime? Wouldn't you do the nice ones outside? Well, no, you can't.
But also, let's talk about how, you know, it is a national thing. So if it's spring or winter here, it doesn't mean that it's spring or winter in Japan, or you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, and it's hosted a different place every. How did the Olympics Korea work
this year? I think. Yeah, no, for real. I have a lot of questions.
I feel
now.
Like, I'm really dumb right now. Yeah. Like, have you heard that TikTok sound? And I feel like we're doing it right now, where the one lady's like, "Is the Boston Marathon longer than the New York Marathon?" And the other lady's like, "No, all marathons are the same length." That's common sense, I fear. And the other person's like, oh, they really are all the same length. And she's like, yeah, they're 32.5 miles. You didn't know that?
A marathon.
Yeah. And she's like, I mean, they range in difficulty, but they're all the same length. Common sense, I fear. And it's just so funny because the other person's like, well, no, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what we're doing right now. Whoops.
No, I haven't heard that one, but yeah. Mm,
that's really us. Hmm. This is all common sense, I fear.
I do fear.
And now that's like a common saying. I keep saying whenever people do anything stupid at work, I'm like, that's common sense, I fear.
There's this GIF that I use all the time at work, and it's this little like cow. It's probably like a cartoon of some sort, but I don't know these things. And it says, it appears that common sense isn't so common. And it's like doing this. So going. It's just like very sassy and I love it. And I use it all the time.
Yeah. So
here we are.
We're going to have to learn about the Olympics sometime, yep, guys.
I guess so. Maybe we'll do a bonus.
Well, we're
bonus
going...
episode.
We're actually doing an episode. I have it almost finished in the next few weeks where we're going to do a not like a short stories, but we're doing a sports themed episode,
mm-hmm,
where we're doing a murder that takes place with a famous athlete. No, it's not O.J. Simpson. I just know. It just sounds like I'm talking about O.J. again. We're not doing O.J.
We're walking around that bush.
I think our most requested case at this point is O.J. Simpson. I'm like, what can we do that isn't O.J.? O.J. and Casey Anthony. Those are our two most requested. And what do I refuse to do?
How about not O.J.?
No O.J. and no Casey.
Oh no, you've danced around Casey too.
I love dancing around Casey.
You even said we already covered it before on Instagram. Yep,
we haven't. I lie.
If someone can find that, you get a sticker.
Mm-hmm.
We have stickers.
I know exactly where it is.
I do too.
Look at us go. I think in our trailer, I also said that we covered it, and obviously we haven't. But
fails.
No, we're doing a sports themed one, and it's going to be fun because I'm wondering if some people
fun
are going to like
you
tuned out. Because I'm wondering if they're like, oh, well, I'm not into sports. I'm not going to like it. But it's still true crime. And if you're into true crime, wouldn't you be into this? Like, I don't know. I find it a very interesting case. So we'll see. I don't know. We're going to do it soon.
I think it's like sports, 3 or 4 so weeks. We'll see.
Oh, it's a pretty interesting case. Well, I do talk about sports a lot. Fuck. We'll see. Bye. I didn't mean to say bye. So back to curling.
Yep. Got there.
So because the space is really good for learning curling, this area produces a lot of the curling Olympians. This is a lot of words that are just difficult.
Curling Olympians.
Because they
just
learn.
Pops them right out.
Yeah, they learn at a young age and then they can train their whole life because it's always available there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So
seems cold.
Yeah. So from about the 1970s up until around last year, actually, the population of Katami has always sat around the same-ish numbers, it seems like. At the year of this case, it was 100,000. But from 1970 to 2023, the lowest it's been is 100,000. But its average is between 105 and 120,000. Like, that doesn't seem like a big change really at that point.
Well, it's not a very big number either for population.
Yeah. Especially for a very populous city. So that's the place where this case takes place. I just kind of wanted to give you guys some background and then talk about the Olympics for 45 minutes. So
surprise.
Here you go. So someone one time asked me, by the way, Kylie, in the DMs, they said, Athena always says something like, oh, we just talked about this for X amount of time. And it's always grossly exaggerated. Do you guys cut a lot out and never shut the fuck up? Or is Athena just grossly exaggerating? And I was like, both.
It depends. It depends on if they say something stupid.
Super off the wall. Which I do.
No, lately I haven't been, though.
Yeah.
And last week, we just decided to talk over Shiro, and I couldn't do anything about that. So,
yeah,
you know.
That's a you guys get to hang out with the dog now.
Yep.
Have fun.
He's been a lot worse lately. Driving me nuts.
So what happened on that morning? It was around 3 a.m. when a local 28-year-old vegetable farmer named Yoshiro Fujiwara was suddenly awoken by his own dog barking loudly at something outside his home in Katami.
Sounds like last week's episode.
It does, actually. So someone was at his home and someone was knocking at his door.
What the hell? Is this last week's episode?
Yeah, I'm actually just redoing it. Is that okay?
I guess.
Okay. So Yoshiro was confused at who would be at his home so late. It literally sounds like I was repeating. It
literally does.
So he goes downstairs and he opens the door and he's met with a very surprising guest. Yoshiro was met with a 3-foot tall creature that had a bulbous head. The creature then pointed towards the sky with a glowing orange hand.
Sounds like E.T.
Never seen it.
What? As Margie?
Probably.
Oh my gosh. It's okay. Corey hadn't either until he started dating me.
Is that like a movie we have to watch?
Yeah.
Oh. Spielberg.
Grew up on that movie.
Yoshiro said he felt like the house was enveloped in an orange light that heated everything up after this. Yoshiro left and the creature... So he left the creature, like closing the door in its face. He ended up running to his bedroom and he looked out his window to see a large disc shaped object floating about 70 feet off the ground in a field adjacent to his home. He claimed the floating object was about 5 feet in height and 26 feet in diameter. How do people just guess that shit?
They're like, I think it's 32 inches and
like I can maybe guess 5 centimeters because I know that's me.
Yeah, like a person. Yeah.
But like anything past that, I'm like. That was at least 3 school buses, which I don't know how long a school bus is, but I would say something like that.
Yeah, I'd have to compare it to something else that I know.
I can just make up numbers or be like, that person was like in the Seth Jackson case where the girl was like, he was 50 feet away. And I'm like, how the fuck do you know what 50 feet away is?
Like a football
I'm like, what?
Like football field? Like you're like counting that?
I just can't in my head. Well, no, I don't have depth perception, so I don't know what I'm talking about. I can't even park a fucking car.
Well, I mean, I guess 26 feet, like if you were like, okay, that's like three people. Maybe, but I'd say, okay, that's like three people.
How tall do you think people are? 26 feet is three people? An average person's 5 foot tall, Kylie. That'd be five people.
Yeah.
How tall five do you people. Think people
are? Math is hard. Nope, math is hard.
Okay, I was just really confused on who you're hanging out with in your spare time.
I don't know why 5 times 3 became 25 instead of 15.
Yeah, that was really scary. You have some tall-ass friends. You're hanging out with the
I mean, I do, but... Sorry. Moving on.
So he said that when he looked up at this disc type object, it also was illuminating the same orange light, and that's what was enveloping his home. Soon after this, Yoshiro felt himself being pulled upwards through his window as he was floating through the air.
Wait, so it picked him up and took him or his whole house?
Him.
Okay.
Yeah. His house was enveloped in the beam, but like he was lifted up and out of the house into the beam.
Through the window. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yoshiro then braced himself because he thought he was going to impact with the outer shell of the craft because like he's lifting up towards it and he doesn't see an entryway. You know what I mean? So he thinks he's going to smack against it, but that doesn't happen. He said it felt like instead he was absorbed by the ship.
That's creepy.
Once Yoshiro felt like he was in control of his body again, he realized he had found himself lying on the floor of a saucer. He said it was a dingy blue colored inside with a bunch of bright lights.
How do you know it's a saucer at that point?
At that point, he's kind of just banking, I guess, on what he thinks. Yoshiro said the craft smelled like a locker room. It gave like a noxious scent that made him feel queasy. He said the only thing he could notice was two creatures that were staring at him while there were others on the other side of the room working at like different little stations. He said the aliens had slimy, brownish, orange, toad-like skin that was covered with colorful yellow and blue scabs, it looked like.
Also, ew. Scabs?
Yeah.
Gross.
Yoshiro noticed that they were bipedals, so like they have two legs, two. And then they had four starfish-like limbs that all tapered around to being round nubs, like arms. So in the end, it has six because it has like
four arms and two legs.
Yeah.
So the arms and his body make the starfish. Is that what he's saying?
Oh, wait, is he saying two of the four? So is he saying the 2 feet and then the two arms? That's two more of the four. I want to look up a picture of this thing. I don't think I've actually seen a picture of this thing. Because I'm thinking it has six, but I think he's describing two and two, but he says it really weird.
So, and two of its four starfish-like limbs. I got it. No, it's just four. Yeah, it's like a normal human, total. But they're like rounded. Yeah, rounded and like
little nublets.
Yeah.
This thing is one of the ugliest creatures. Oh, it's so cute.
Okay.
Someone drew cartoons of it. It's actually really cute. Okay. But I'm sure the cartoons aren't what he was seeing. Yeah. This thing's pretty ugly. Mm. I'll post it. Don't worry,
guys. Just kind of makes me feel like it's discredited. But
yeah.
Moving on.
According to an illustration later that Yoshiro made, he said the entity still had what he described the first time, a large bulbous octopoidal shaped head. And it had menacing looking downward slanting eyes and what seemed to be one single V-shaped nostril.
So it really just looks like a really angry squid.
Mm-hmm. At this point, yeah. The creature's mouth was drawn really wide and it appeared to be grinning. According to the eyewitnesses, according to him, it resembled a curious combination of being between a starfish and an octopus.
Okay.
He said it had transparent, shiny, like vinyl spacesuits on it, along with helmets that had a small antenna at the top. Yoshiro thought the antenna had radiated something similar like to like an electrical pulse. He said it also like created a force that coated the creature in a strange gleam of light.
Just sounds like every single like alien that's created in a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, like they have the little antenna and then it has little squiggly lines like action. That's exactly what I'm picturing.
Yeah. Yoshiro said the creatures started to talk to him telepathically. They said, "No danger. We will release you close to your home." Yoshiro then tried to get up, but the creatures held him down with an inhuman strength. The calm words of the creatures didn't help by telling him that, like, he wasn't in danger and they were going to return him, because he said he was still scared. So he, you know, like, used all of his adrenaline he had, and he managed to get up and start running towards an open hatch that he could see in the spacecraft. Yoshiro threw himself through the hatch and hit the ground, and he realized he was actually only about 10 feet off the ground at this point. So then he went running to a neighbor's house, and there he began pounding on the door.
I literally was going to say, what, are you going to just jump out of a window of this saucer? Like,
yeah.
And I guess he did. No,
but originally, remember, he thought it was really high in the air.
Right.
He thought it was like 60 or 70 feet up. Would you live from a 60 or 70 foot jump? I don't think. Wouldn't you? Would you live?
I don't know.
I don't think so. You can die from like a 3-story jump, and that's 30 feet.
Yeah.
60 to 70? That's like a 6 or 7 story building.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It would not feel great.
No, that'd be very bad.
And you would not be able to run and go to your neighbor's house at the end of it. So
it was around 4:30 a.m. when this happens. He runs over to the neighbors, and they were startled because, you know, he starts pounding on their door. So they cautiously peek their heads outside, and they recognize Yoshiro, their neighbor, who lives less than 2 miles away. So Yoshiro thought he was only gone for a few minutes on this ship, but when he looks at the clock and stuff, he realizes hours had passed and he couldn't account for any of the time. Now, the neighbors that he visited claims they didn't see the UFO. And in fact, later when they go to talk to pretty much anyone, everyone's like, yeah, none of us saw it. Yoshiro is the only one that saw it. But there was a UFO investigator named Kenichi Arai, and he later claimed that at the same time Yoshiro was being abducted, there was one other incident. A junior at a high school named Mayuki Fujita had nearby woken up because she said that she saw a light shining outside her window, but she didn't get up to see the source of it. But she said it wasn't the moon. It was like much brighter than that. Like it was something in the sky.
A junior high school student. It's like junior high. It's like middle school.
Oh, I said that weird.
Not yeah, I did. In high school. I was yeah. like, what? A junior high? No, they're not in high school. They're in junior high.
Yeah, junior high. So the following day, Yoshiro said that he felt strange pains behind his ears and a strange heat at his fingertips. So then he is pretty much like summoned. He like feels this calling to go grab a pencil and some paper, claiming that he felt an impulse to write something. Yoshiro then fell into what he called an unconscious trance-like state, and he began to draw a series of incomprehensible hieroglyphs that he said were those alien language, right? Then in the end, he writes out, "When the disc lands on the mountain, you will come and board by yourself." And this was the aliens talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So on April 8th, Yoshiro followed the voice's orders, and he and two unidentified friends went out on a hike towards the nearby Nikoro Mountain. They arrived around 6:30 p.m., and following the instructions, he went alone while leaving his friends behind. Yoshiro said that once he arrived, he was again greeted by the orange illuminating saucer. This time, he boarded it without a fight, and he said it was still unclear as to whether or not he did this by his own free will or if he just was feeling this psychic pressure, like telling him to do it. But he said it was okay because he was treated to a special treat that night that was really, really cool.
You made it okay, dude. Yeah.
The aliens took Yoshiro on a trip that very few humans have gotten the privilege to experience, they told him. The creatures gave him a guided tour of space by flying around the moon once and the Earth twice. The journey took 1.5 hours, and afterwards he was taken back to the mountain and he ended up collapsing on it.
I mean, because the force of that would be interesting.
Astronomical.
Literally.
It'd be out of this world.
Literally.
On April 10th, so we're only a few days. Like, all this happens in, like, a matter of, like, 5 days or less.
Uh-huh.
On April 10th, Yoshiro claims he was abducted yet again. But this time, he couldn't remember hardly any of the events. He only remembers that the alien creatures were a lot nicer to him this third time around. He claimed in an interview later on that he could hear the aliens, like they were telepathically talking to him because he had developed psychic powers And some of the other things he could do now was use these psychic powers to, like, bend spoons and stuff.
Okay.
He's like Alakazam, the Pokemon up in here.
Interesting.
But that wasn't the end of it. On April 13th, he said he got abducted again.
Okay.
Yoshiro claimed this abduction had a lot of differences, though. He was given another tour of the solar system. This time, they flew him out to Jupiter. Eventually, though, when they were leaving Jupiter's orbit, they landed on Saturn's largest moon. And when the creatures then were like, oh, you wait here, they exited the vehicle and they retrieved a rock out from the moon's surface. And they then give this item to Yoshiro as a memento for his voyage. And they were like, it's priceless and it's rare. Here it is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, obviously, things were like being questioned and they were like, you know, like what could be real about this story? So one of the things they could test was this object he was given, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they ask Yoshiro if they can take that into evidence and look at the stone. So they x-ray it and turns out the stone was a local stalactite that was made of limestone from the area.
Interesting.
After this, though, the visitations with the aliens stopped. But that wasn't the end of it. Yoshiro claimed he could still communicate with them. And, like, he got new powers. Okay. So Yoshiro claimed that he was accepted as an earthly representative for the Summon Call Space Union, that they dubbed him the Sam Call.
Okay.
So this gave him, like, special powers and abilities. But he was only supposed to use them for, like, what they needed him for. But he was able to grow and develop them. He also was given 3 UFOs, or maybe more.
Oh.
And he said they were used for his activities. What kind of activities? Well, the UFOs enabled him to stop volcanic eruptions by allowing him to travel inside hollow earth, where he can prevent the flow of magma from going topside by stuffing rocks inside the volcanoes and the inner channels by using his telepathic and, like, psychic abilities.
Okay.
Yoshiro's powers could also teleport him 250 light years away in less than 6 minutes. And so because of all these powers, the aliens told him his role was to delay natural disasters such as earthquake and eruptions. And that's why he's so important. And they visited him in the first place, was because they needed this, like, Sam Call person to do this so that they could continue learning about Earth and the people here.
All right.
Okay. That's the end.
Uh-huh.
Nothing ever happened after that.
Where is he now?
Yoshiro? I mean, that was 1974. Is he still alive, you think?
I would hope so.
What?
That's 10 years after our parents were alive.
Whose parents?
Your Mine.
Parents? Okay, wait. What year is this?
74?
He'd be 78. He might be alive. I don't know. What's the local age range over there?
Probably higher than America. Might would be my guess.
So he's 78. The Japanese age... what the fuck? Age demographic is what I'm asking, you weirdos. Oh, shit. They live forever.
Yeah. Because their food is better than ours. Yeah.
They say that the demographic... graphic is just okay. Well,
we won't go into those politics today.
It seems like they live up to, like, there's a, okay, 65 and older is where it, like, stops, but it looks like their age range of 65 and older could go up to, like, 85 really easily, and it then starts to taper off. So yeah. He might be still alive. And he's a vegetable farmer, so he probably eats vegetables.
A lot of vegetables.
Yeah.
Or so, he's just going to Hollow Earth and talking to Kong.
Maybe he just died of a fucking volcanic eruption in Hollow Earth at one point.
I don't.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that I didn't know anything about Hollow Earth stuff. And then I accidentally picked a Hollow Earth case after we just saw a movie and I had to learn about Hollow Earth. I was like, oh, okay.
But that's all very much
just, that's all very much fiction. So, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. Like, so I guess to me,
no, I say no.
This case doesn't seem real. And here's my reasonings.
Okay.
Number one, he was the only person that seemed to see anything, which usually there's at least one or two other people.
Yes.
Number two, all of a sudden there were a little bit different of a look, this one, compared to anything else. Number three, just even the orange glowing light, the heated light, how he was abducted, all of it seems a little odd. It's like a complete different story than anything we had heard even back in the past around these times. And then lastly, all these superpowers are very new, and the way that they're getting these like titles and everything, it just seemed like too many new things that were added that made this story seem like it was just someone that was on some sort of a bender, going crazy or something, having a little bit of a little, he watched too many movies around that time.
Well, now if it was more like a, you know, and it said that he's helping us to this day, you know, and like we have no idea where he is, and like he's not a real person. No, I know, but like it's like a local like folklore, basically. You know what I mean? Like, so it was like created, like, you know, he's helping us live better.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know, or maybe like some sort of like vegetable farm situation. I don't believe it because of the same things that you said. It's just like not, it's very out of character for anything else that has had multiple witnesses or things that are just kind of like similar in a sense, but not completely the same. Like most of the things that we've covered, they have similarities.
Yeah.
In some sort of way. Up,
like, have we had more or less, like back in the past, did we have more volcanic eruptions or less, like in the past, like 30, 40 years at least? And it's about the same.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that I thought that was going to be like the hook and sinker of this whole case, but then, like, I accidentally clicked a button and it took to the eruption of Pompeii from 79. What was that? 79 AD that happened or something. And I was like, well, that's a little bit older than I meant.
Just slightly.
Yeah, 79 AD was the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. And I was like, well, that's not what I meant to click.
Yeah, but I just feel like it's a whole like mythic type of thing. Like the end of Moana.
Never seen it.
Okay. Well, other people that have seen it know what I'm talking about.
For someone who watches a lot of movies, I feel like I've never seen a lot of movies.
You need to see E.T. for sure.
Well, I don't know.
Have you seen Back to the Future?
No. Which is funny because we were in line at the concert and the two girls behind us, Lily and Marissa, were playing like that game where you like, it's like a game on your phone and it has something and you put it on your head and then they have to, other people describe the thing on your head and you have to, it like,
yeah, you have to figure out the card that's on your forehead, but it was on their phone.
On their phone. Some of these ones were so funny. Okay, so we're done with the case. So I'm going to tell you some of these real quick for a second.
Okay.
So, you know how you have celebrity crushes? Do you have dead celebrity crushes too? Where like they're not on your list anymore because they died, but like they're a dead celebrity crush?
Yeah, like Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Okay. So my biggest one is Abe Lincoln. Got a big, I love Abe Lincoln. I have such a crush on Abe Lincoln. And Mark, like, had
the president.
Yeah.
Of the United States of America.
He was a very honest man. And those are rare.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
He died too soon. He did great things for our country. He could really rock a hat. I have a crush on this man.
Okay.
And I made Margie go to the memorial. That's like the one thing I was super adamant on our vacation. I like made her, and I got all excited and I was like, this is my man. Like, I was super serious about it too. Oh my God. Okay. So anyways, we were doing this headbands game in line, and some of the things I was saying was off the wall, like, but they were things that I knew that would help people.
Yeah.
And it did work. But then Abe Lincoln was the thing. And so the first thing I said, I was like, the sexiest president ever. And everyone else in line around us was like, I got to know which president this person is talking about. And once everyone found out the answer was Abe Lincoln, there were a lot of judgments.
But did Margie know immediately?
Margie knew immediately.
Okay.
But no, there were so many other really funny ones that, like, I can't think of them. But there was an E.T. one, actually, funny enough. And there was a Back to the Future one.
Well, yeah, because they're very high in, like, pop culture.
But the funniest one.
Oh, God.
The funniest one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lily is so bad at describing stuff. She is the absolute worst. Okay, so Marissa had it on her forehead, okay? And Lily goes to start describing it to Marissa. She goes, it's a movie. I'm going to describe to you what she said. And Margie and I did not see it at first. I'm going to see if you can see what it is. Uh-huh. And you guys can guess too. She says, it's a movie. Super tragic in the beginning. This guy watches all of his siblings gets tragically murdered in this huge event. It was colossal. It was so crazy. So he spends his life embarking on journeys, trying to go through thick and thin to find out the truth about the answers of what happened. And his family gets caught up in this whole ordeal about it, trying to find the truth and get back to some semblance of returning to a family. And along the way, they make friends, but they have to go through this great journey to get there. And we're both like, what? And she's like, it's super meaningful. And there's that turtle that's high. And then we're both like, wait a minute. Wait. Are you talking about Finding Nemo?
Finding Nemo.
Yeah. She's talking about Finding Nemo. That's how she described it.
I mean, like, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong. But we're like, why can't you just say like clownfish?
Right?
Dory. Like they're sexy, scar-faced angels.
Literally, the one thing that I would say is just keep swimming.
And like, but you go brain dead. And I get that. You go brain dead when you have to describe something.
Yeah.
But that was such an intricate way to describe Nemo.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because everyone in line was like, the fuck are you guys playing? Yeah, it got really funny, though. It was really good. And we found out some weird kinks people have and just weird things.
I don't know if I want
really
to know
funny.
Those.
That is definitely like the thing to do if you're in line at a concert, if mm-hmm. you have a portable charger. So funny story, I found out that once you get an iPhone 15, not only do you have a different charger than everyone else, uh-huh. but also not all portable chargers are compatible with iPhone 15s. Uh-huh. You have to have a new charger. So I pretty much didn't have a charger from Friday to Sunday. So
like
my
a very phone, specific MagSafe. Yeah.
So my phone was off from Friday to Sunday, pretty much, except for when we were at the concert, which it was on airplane mode. So I get home on Sunday.
Oh, God.
I get in that car with Corey, who picks me up at the airport. And the first thing he says is, why'd you ignore me all weekend? I was so bored. I said, I was busy. He goes, but you text me every day. What was I supposed to do? Not text you? I was like, yes, Corey. Exactly. I was busy. He's like, well, that sucks.
The man thrives on social interaction for sure.
I know. He's such a fucking puppy.
Speaking of.
Yeah, speaking of the puppies.
No,
but yeah, I thought you'd find that funny. So
what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. No, Corey and I have had conversations with people in lines at concerts, and we actually made friends at like most of the concerts we've been to. And we went to another one and stayed at their house. And we don't know, like, we don't actually know these people.
I've done stuff like that.
And like, keep in mind, like Corey and I see metal shows. So like, these are like metal people. So all of those like TikToks that you see about metal people being like the nicest people is actually true.
Well, that's how, when I lived in Chicago, I did some crazy things. I think this one time I'm never met this girl. I had never met her. We played video games a few times with headsets, so I assumed she was real.
Mm-hmm.
We played Overwatch together and she was like, hey, do you want to come stay like 2 weeks with me? I live in the middle of nowhere, Colorado, and there's no city around for like 20 minutes in any direction. But do you want to come stay with me? And I was like, sure, I'll take a flight next week.
Jesus Christ.
It was fine. I was safe. It's fine. I lived through it. And we just played Overwatch half the time.
Right.
Same thing. Like this one time I met this girl in cosplay. I had no idea what she looked like outside of cosplay or anything. And she was like, do you want to drive 5 hours and stay a weekend at my house and go to a fancy ball with me because my boyfriend broke up with me? And I was like, okay. And now she's a famous chef.
Like, wow.
It's that Aaliyah girl. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's how
yeah.
we became friends. So I've done some pretty scandalous things.
Well, I mean, all of my guy friends that are my best friends for life are people that I had never met before.
And you just,
and they were just
gotta,
online.
Gotta take a whim.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah. It's scary. Be careful. Be safe out there, guys.
Yeah. I was not by myself when I met these people.
Oh, I do it all the time. Okay. I just hope to live through it. I just take pepper spray or something if I can. Yeah. We make a lot of friends at concerts, I feel like. I feel like we make one or two friends at each concert. Although this set of concerts was the nicest ones we've ever seen or been around. And you want to hear one last weird thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess we can start to close out tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I know a lot of people just sporadically throughout the world?
Uh-huh. The world is small.
You would never assume that when I get to the airport in North Carolina, I would recognize someone, right?
Probably. Uh-huh.
It'd be
more likely if I saw someone because I lived close.
Yeah,
I saw
someone I knew at the airport the day we arrived. And then I also saw someone at the airport I knew the day we were leaving, both in North Carolina.
From here?
One of them was from here. Yeah. That's weird. One was from literally the next town over.
Weird.
Yeah.
Really
and
weird.
Actually, weirdly enough, that happened when we flew to Baltimore. We flew to Baltimore and someone I knew was in the airport that lives in Ohio. I'm going to a concert with this year.
Chicago airport?
No, in the Baltimore airport. The same day, same area as me.
That's weird.
Yeah. And it's the girl that I'm going to the Niall Horan concert with. She was there. And I was like, what the fuck?
That is really weird.
Why? So, yeah. That's that.
The world is small. Small world.
I guess that's it. We don't believe. We're non-believers.
We're non-believers.
Next week we got Stan, and that's a whole trip. Can't wait for that one. It's like a true crime case wrapped into child stuff, wrapped into bad, wrapped into aliens.
You couldn't just keep away from the child stuff, could
you? I don't mean to. It's their fault. They're the ones doing it. It's not my fault. So, yeah. I don't know. That's all. So thank you guys for listening and glad we got to catch up. We try to save a lot of our catch ups for at the end in case you guys don't want to catch up with us. But we hope you do. We hope you guys catch up every week. If not, well, OK. So feel free to tell us how you guys feel about this case as well.
Tell us how the Olympics work.
Explain in detail the Olympics.
Please, we need to know. All right. Thank you guys for joining us after dark. We can't wait to chat with you next week for another new episode. Sleep tight.
Hey, listener, did you have some feedback about this week's case? Or maybe you want to chat with us. Maybe you even have a suggestion you'd like to throw our way. We're always just a click away. You can easily find all of our socials on Linktree through Cryptic Soup Pod, which is available in our Instagram bio. You can also join the CSP Discord, where we would love to chat with you.
Thank you for joining us this week, and make sure to check out our sources available in the description if you want to dive deeper into this case. Don't forget to show your support and love for CSP by leaving a review and rating wherever you normally listen. Next week, we will be back with a new episode where you can join in on the conversation after dark.
Cryptic Soup Pod is a podcast that contains sensitive material at times. We understand if sometimes the subjects are too much for some of the listeners. We thank each and every one of you for being a member of the community and always supporting us. Thank you for everything, and we'll see you next time. So stay tuned. Moving. And I'm Tina. No, I'm sorry.
No, you have to give it. Wait. What was moving?
It zoomed in for a second. It's as if my fingers were touching it. It went like this and I got lost. And then when I went to do it before I even touched it, it zoomed out and in like this two or three times. And all I was doing was sitting here waiting for it to stop. And it's like I couldn't remember what the line was, even though I know the line's my name. Okay.